Welcome back to Just Roll With It, friends and listeners, and the continuation of our Court of Blades game. It's Pride Month when this is coming out. Happy June, and I think you'll find this is going to be one of our queerest episodes yet, because we're smack dab in the middle of our downtime, and quite a lot of our Skylarks have paramours to woo. So let's set the scene. Moonlit night, rose petals on silk sheets, wine decanted and candles lit. Definitely nothing going to catch on fire. Let's see if they manage to finally get some kisses in, shall we? Hello and welcome back to Just Roll With It and our game of Court of Blades. We are still doing downtime, as I recall. So, everybody has downtime. Who would like to begin?
I can get us started.
Yeah.
Because I have a little side job that I need to do for Rowan.
That you do. They have requested that you leave a letter on the desk of the first prince of the Corvetta House.
Discreetly.
Yes, discreetly. They would like you to not get caught, for both your sake and theirs.
So I suppose I go to Fia. Because we have some time. Like, I've gone through the motions of, like, preparing this personal errand, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And I go to Fia with the plan. I personally have not put a lot of thought into it, but Vivi has, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. I think we just see them talking quietly together, and then we head out. And is this just going to be like a roll, or...
Do we want to do a mini engagement roll about this, or do you want to just have this be a roll and have it done?
I feel like that's up to you as far as, like, how difficult you think it is.
You've broken into the Corvetto Manse before. It is differently guarded than it was, because it's not going to be as easy to break in under... a guise of, you know, someone who's supposed to be there. But you do know the layout, roughly. I think we should probably do an engagement roll about it.
Okay.
So, how are you getting into the Corvetto Palazzo?
I can't be spotted, so I have to find some way to sneak in. So I probably have staked out the place and found, like, during a change of the guard or something, I'm going to, like, sneak in and climb the trellis or something.
And Fia is helping you?
I think Fia is going to run interference if need be.
Are you enlisting the help of anyone else in this little fiasco?
I had not planned to. Okay. But I do think that I at least tell Teresa where I'm going.
All right. Teresa, Vivi is planning on breaking into the Corvetto Palazzo. You have that information in case anything terrible happens.
And Fia is helping her.
You are welcome to come along.
That's good to know. I'm not coming.
Look, Sam I.L. is still around. We can't be... It'd be very hard for us to become the most problematic people here.
True.
Wait till you see what I have planned.
One so fear. No matter how bad we mess up, at least we will not be that bad.
You know what? You are not wrong.
Is this bolder daring? Yes, absolutely. Is it overly complex or contingent on luck or outside factors? I don't think so. Does it leverage your house strengths? No. Is the target strongest against this approach? Are they prepared to this eventuality? Yeah, they have guards and stuff to, you know, this is the Corvetto Palazzo. I'm sure plenty of thieves want to break in. Are any of your friends or contacts providing aid or insight to this errand? Have you gone to anyone for, besides staking out, for help?
I don't think most of my contacts would be able to help here.
Okay. Are your enemies or rivals interfering? Not yet. Maybe I can work Alaric in, but we'll see. And will this errand in some way endanger or reflect poorly upon one of your paramours? Yeah, if you're caught, this will reflect very badly on Rowan. So,
minus one.
Minus
one. Oh, we get one. Okay.
Yep. Will you allow your paramour or their reputation to complicate this errand? I think they're the reason that you're doing this errand, so I don't know if they complicate it.
Yeah, I don't think they can complicate it any further than it already is. Like, yeah. The base level of it is, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to give you a die.
It's better than I was expecting. I'm looking to see if I have anything that helps my position here, and I don't believe so. So I'm just going to roll it. I'll take that 4.
Yeah, no, that's risky position. Okay, so you get to the house, and I think, how are you getting in? You're planning on, like, scaling a wall, or?
Yeah, I feel like they have, like, a trellis that has, like, vines, like, flowering vines climbing up of it, and I'm just going to climb up that into, like, a second or third story window.
Perfect. You climb up the window, you find it unlatched and get inside, or it's locked, but you make quick work of it. You get inside, you make your way through to the office where Rowan told you roughly where it was, and you hear voices. You hear low murmured voices, what sounds like an argument, coming from roughly the area you're supposed to get to.
Well, that sounds interesting. I'd like to find a place where I can eavesdrop, but closer.
Okay. You managed to do that. There's no one in this hall. And in fact, there's a curious dearth of servants walking around. I think you notice. You get close and you hear a deep voice. I don't know if you know who this is, because I don't know if you've ever met the prince. But I think the audience gets a cut inside to see Umberto Corvetto, medium brown skin, close-cropped black hair, steel starting to work in at the temples. He's got an immaculately kept beard, dressed usually in violet and black, but he's a little bit more casual right now. Cravat off, jacket off, so it's just like a violet waistcoat. He has a full, like, you can't see most of his face because he has... Even in his home, since he's talking to somebody, most of his face is covered by a mask. It stops, I think, just above his lips, so you can still see the beard and his lips moving, but it's matte black. And he is arguing with a woman who Fia would recognize. Beautifully, like, curvy, lush woman. Her hair black, so black it's almost violet. Violet eyes, pale skin, like a inviting smile that's just a little bit like you don't know if she's mocking you or pleased with you. She's in a beautiful violet gown that matches her eyes. And when we cut back to Vivi out front, we hear her saying, "My prince, it isn't nearly what you think it is. I assure you that these temporary setbacks will be alleviated soon. If you are willing to do a little bit of a thing for me, then I'm sure that we can do just enough to help you with your little issue. Don't you think? It shouldn't be that difficult." And you hear him inhale like he's about to shout something back, but then he stops and his voice goes a little bit leaden and soft. "Yes, of course. We can see what we can do. Another drink, milady." "Oh yes, that would be quite pleasant." And what does Vivi do from outside? They seem to be settling in.
There is a part of me that's just like, find a closet to hide in and wait for them to leave. Because that would be the safest thing to do, to just wait for them to leave the office. But also, I have shadow, so I can push myself to perform an act of stealth that borders on the superhuman. So I am tempted to find a window, go across like the ledges outside, and then just kind of slip the sealed letter in through the window and just like land it on the desk and leave.
Interesting.
Is that possible?
I'm not going to say it's impossible. I am going to say this is desperate.
Okay, but it is superhuman, and that's why I have Shadow for.
Yep, and that's going to allow you to do this at all.
I mean, desperate gets me XP.
Yep.
So I may as well. Sure, let's do it.
I'll try to cover for you somehow if it goes horribly wrong. I don't know how yet.
But... Oh, I should clear my special armor as well. And all of my other stuff. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to find a window, creep across the ledge. I'm going to kind of perch, like, right by the window that would lead into the office and wait until, like, their backs are turned or they're not paying attention. And then that's when I'm going to just kind of slip the letter in.
It's his office. So, beautiful ebony desk. Bookshelves and one other's absolutely a fireplace. They've settled into like these beautiful chaises next to the fire. They've poured drinks and she's sitting next to him, hand starting to like slowly stroke his arm. She could, if she sees you, like she's positioned that she could see you from the window, but she does appear somewhat distracted. So you may attempt whatever move you think this is.
All right, so I'm going to take 2 stress to push myself because I have to do it to even do this at all. And then I'm skulking, I think.
Makes sense to me. Okay. Desperate standard.
Since I'm pushing myself, do I also get the bonus die?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
Ooh. Is balance or grace an issue?
Falling off, this would be very bad. But I don't think it has anything to do with, I mean, grace, I guess. Getting the thing perfectly positioned. Sure, I'll give it to you.
Okay, so I have +1 effect.
Mm-hmm. So desperate, great.
Okay, I'll take it. This is either going to go wonderfully or terribly.
Fia, are you helping at all? Are you able to help, you think?
Oh, gosh. Trying to think if there is anything I could do to help you with this.
I know that I wouldn't want you to risk yourself. So, like, don't put yourself in a place where you're going to be in danger or possibly, I guess, like, even social repercussions. I don't want you to suffer. So. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can think of is maybe giving you some sort of magic help.
Yeah? What kind of magic help?
I don't know, like something either to help with like the stealthiness or.
So why don't you do a setup action about it?
Okay.
And if you get, you know, your 4 or better, Celia will get an extra die. Okay. What are you casting? What are you doing to give her extra stealth or to cause a distraction or?
I feel like she's going for like trying to. Rather than causing a scene that might out herself as well, trying to give Vivi like a little bit of help getting things done discreetly.
Like a look away spell.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like a glamour.
Yeah, basically like a glamour.
That makes perfect sense to me. What are you doing about it?
I feel like that's probably going to be channel.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
So it means I get XP for this because I have not been using magic very much yet. So,
Yeah, you're not the one on the ledge. So we'll risky standard.
Okay, risky standard. I have 3 dice in this already.
Do you want to push yourself or request a lady's favor?
I'll hear what you might be able to come up with for a lady's favor.
It's going to be easier for you to cast magic, but in casting magic, you will alert this other she that you are here. She won't know what you did. She doesn't know like where you are exactly, but she will feel your magic.
I mean, I don't know. She's in there yet, so...
Not yet, no.
be like, I don't really have a reason to not take it.
Up to you. This will have capital F future implications. Mm-hmm. It won't come back to bite you guys right now, but it will in the future.
I would love to get tangled up with this Violet Fae.
I mean, I would too.
Let's do it.
Girl, fuck. Hey, look at that.
Nice.
That's a six. Very nice. Yeah. You get that scot-free. You get that extra die. No other complications right now.
That's a six as well.
Yes, it is. Fantastic. The letter sails in. She has turned away momentarily to pour them another drink and like to thread their hands together. I think you notice that the prince's shoulders are slumping and his head is nodding a little bit. Like, he doesn't seem drunk, but he doesn't seem to be in his right mind. As they are distracted, the letter sails to hit a part of his desk that is not at first glance noticeable. Like, if she takes a look at the desk, she won't see anything different on it. But if he goes to sit down, he will notice it.
Perfect. Time to get out.
Yep, and away you flee. Both of you flee into the night. We get that last cut to this beautiful fairy who is enchanting the prince. As she looks up, cocks her head as she catches a whiff of fairy magic, but nothing appears to be different, so she continues whatever she's working on, and you two fade into the night.
And now I know that a fae is ensorceling the Corvetto Prince.
Mm-hmm. That you do.
So that's fun.
Yep.
Gonna make a note of that. I definitely tell you, as we steal into the night, like after we well make our getaway, I think there's a moment like maybe we're like hiding behind a building, catching our breath. And I'm just like, oh, Fifi, I believe there was a fae and there was a prince.
That's not surprising. Considering I'm pretty sure I saw one at the party as well. But concerning.
She seemed to be doing some sort of spell on him.
That would make sense, I think.
You think we should tell anyone?
I mean, we don't have any proof.
No.
And then we'd have to admit that we were there.
I suppose it's not our problem then, huh?
Not just yet, anyway.
Well, I've caught my breath. Shall we?
Yes, let's get as much distance between us and there as possible.
I nod, and we head off.
Brilliant. All right, who would like to have their next downtime action?
I'm almost ready for mine, I just need a little bit longer.
Oh, Lord.
I have concerns.
I also have concerns. I thought I was the one who was supposed to be making people concerned. I thought that was my job. But fine, okay. We'll give Peter another few minutes to ruin my life. Kelsey, Saint?
I'm just trying to get to that section of the book. I can remember where it is.
I can do something.
Go for it.
Alrighty.
Saint Guard?
Yeah.
What would you like to do?
I would like to work on courting Sophia as Teresa.
Yay, courtship! We'd love to see it. So, where do you find Sophia?
That's a very good question. I think I find her probably close to where Teresa does her education. So somewhere in the university district.
So, like, do you find her on a lawn somewhere? Do you find her in a cafe?
Ooh, a cafe. I like that. Let's go with that. Mm. That sounds fun.
Wonderful. Yeah, you find her in a cafe. Of course, it's university. There's plenty of places for people to get their caffeine fix. All right, so it's a lovely little cafe, one of those an outdoor patio, little flower boxes. And Sophia is seated, I think, by the window with a heavy tome. And she doesn't notice when you approach because she's so enwrapped in it.
Oh, perfect. Love that. Yeah, she, Teresa is going to, I think, find, like, I suppose find a waiter or something is just like, I'm going to order something for us as so I can approach with it.
Beautiful. Yeah, they take your order, hand it to you.
Excellent. And she heads on over.
Beautiful. Sophia is so pulled in by this, whatever she's reading, that she does not notice as you approach with the coffee.
Yeah, just sit down next to her, just like, surprise.
She starts a little bit. Oh, Teresa. Hello. Sets her book aside. Were we supposed to meet today?
No, I saw you from the streets and I decided to stop by. You're not too busy, are you?
Oh, no, I was just brushing off on some, it doesn't matter. And she pushes the book away. I'm free for the next few hours.
Oh, perfect. I don't have too much to do right this second, so perhaps I can tell you what's been around lately.
Oh, please. What have you been up to?
Yeah, and I think Teresa goes into mostly, I think Teresa goes into mostly, like, what happened at that duel, and also her continuing education. Yeah, avoiding talking about the other thing that the coterie did, because, yeah, as well as what she's been doing with Alonzo for her education. Just like, I'm doing much better.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. Oh, Alonzo's an excellent teacher. I'm glad you're doing so well. I know you've been wanting to work on that.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work.
I believe it.
Not quite used to this sort of thing. Perhaps it suits me? I'm not quite sure. I suppose I'll find out in the end.
It will be worth it, I promise you. There's an entire world opens up when you're able to read and write. Just forget, sending messages back and forth. But books you'll be able to read. Folklore and stories and all the stuff you can learn on your own. It's worth it, I promise.
I have to believe you.
You don't have to believe me.
Perhaps I should roll here, see how the rest of this goes.
Yes, you can roll here. What are you doing to woo your beloved?
I'll roll consort. We'll see what happens.
All right, consort. So it is a fortune roll, if I remember correctly. It's been so long since we've done the wooing. Let me double check how romance works. Yes, it is a clock, so it is a...
Perfect.
All right, you got a 4. That is two die in your... That is two spokes.
Ticks.
Ticks in your ticks. Clock, that's it. It's not a wheel, it's a clock. That's two ticks in your clock.
That's two rudens in your tootin'.
I hate you so much.
I only have two to go to finish that.
Hey! Would you like to spend money to buy her something nice and get another roll, or?
Oh, yes. I hadn't thought about that. Yes, let's do it.
All right, spend that influence. All right. Use your not quite noble influence to get Sophia, I don't know, like a flower or, I don't know, whatever you do.
Yeah, a nice flower is always a good thing to do. Let's see how it goes. Another 4. I did it.
You are officially paramours. So we need to figure out how what your paramours' flaws and edges are.
Yes, we do. Let me just get to that part of the book.
Flaws are that she is jealous, meddling, flighty, or star-crossed. Edges, connected, protective, doting, and well-protected. So.
Flighty is definitely a flaw.
All right.
I'm trying to think of the edge. I'm between connected and doting.
I was going to say she feels kind of doting.
Yeah, let's do doting.
All right.
Let's do doting and flighty. Because she has, like, a job.
She does indeed have a job. I think, in fact, after you give her, like, I think you've finished coffee, and she's put the book away into a satchel, and you guys have gone on a walk, and, like, you presented her with a flower. It's been a lovely afternoon walk, and just as she, like, you get have that moment where, like, you turn towards each other, and there's that thing where, like, are you gonna kiss? Are you, like, there's that tension in the air. Someone from her firm runs up and starts talking to her about somebody that she... you know, she currently, or currently has her on retainer, or something about they're about to lose their home and, like, they need to file something right now, like an injunction right now before the Bank of Brass and Bone does something. And so Sophia very apologetically turns to you. I am so sorry. This family is really struggling right now. I need to go deal with this.
It is your job after all. I will not stand in the way. So if you need a sword on...
I'll remember that. You're quite incredible with a sword, from what I've heard. I'd love to see it sometime.
No, I'm very willing to show you.
She flushes. Then I will, I'll see you later. And she, stands on her toes a little bit, kisses you on the cheek real fast, and, runs off with her aide to go put out whatever legal fire she has to go put out.
Amazing. Teresa's left standing there, blushing, just, like, this touched.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I...
These two are very cute, as it turns out.
They're adorable. I love them so much.
Yeah.
All right, so now a less adorable wooing.
Now for the barn burning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. So, Ines Lavelle is the heir to the prince, the principality, the house, what have you, yep. Right?
Yeah, no, you've heard very recently through your connections, I mean, it's rumor all over the place, and I think it's been officially announced that Fiore, the previous heir to the House of Lavelle, has gone in seclusion to go ponder the mysteries of the lady. And so their cousin, Ines, has graciously stepped up to be the new heir.
Wow. All right. Good. This is fine. Well, I know how I'm going to get in.
How are you going to get in?
Well, I'm going to promise a favor to a favor to somebody else promising them a favor. Basically, I'm going to use some good old underworld connections to get into the estate as, like, I don't know, a servant or something, so that I can go and meet Ines.
Yeah, I think you're very good at this. You've been to the Lavelle estate recently. Ines is in her new office. Her jacket's been thrown over a chair. Her cravat loosened, the mane of her red hair sort of, like, pulled back into a messy queue, scowling at some papers and some books that have been laid in front of her.
Right. Just, I think it's the standing in the, like, closing the door behind them is just, like, having a lot of fun there, huh?
She looks up, looks at you, like, there's, like, that brief little, like, pleased to see you thing before the scowl. Slams back down. Yes, I'm having loads of fun. Thank you.
Hey, maybe I can help.
Oh, really? Do you know about, God, I don't even know what this is. Exporting of wheat from the fucking granary? You know that, apparently, you can counterfeit bread? I didn't know that. And there's been a rise of counterfeit bread in the city. And that's the thing I need to know about now.
See? And Allie walks over just like, see, I actually did know about that. And I think they drop the affectation that is usually their voice. Just like, they go back to the, like, I'm criminal royalty. Just like, I have learned a thing or two in my day. I think it's a sit on the desk type of situation. It's just like, now, counterfeit bread, that's, excuse the pun, small potatoes, honestly.
The scowl does not lift. If anything, she glowers up at you.
Really, the thing here is it's about having the right connections. And I guarantee that if you want to get to the bottom of that, you got to talk to the right people.
Oh no, you misunderstand. That's not a me problem. I don't have to figure it out. That's a Corvetto issue. I just need to know about it because I'm going to be the fucking Prince of Lavelle.
Just like puts hands up. She's like, hey, again, I'm just putting a hand out there in case you want some help. You know.
Oh, please. Vaunted Princess of the Underworld, tell me all about the economy.
I mean, I can't tell you all about the economy. But neither can Lavelle, right? Like, it's just one house. It's the house.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I guess I would.
This house prizes knowledge above everything else. We're supposed to know everything.
I can't tell you everything in the world, and I'm not gonna try. But I do know a few things, and I know how to do a few things very well. So, if you want my help, I can help you. Otherwise, I might just be able to help you forget about this for a little while. Distraction can be just as good, yeah.
She looks at you skeptically. Violet eyes sort of like rage over you. Distraction. All right, then. Distract me.
And I think, does this room have a window?
Oh, yes, it does.
Okay, good. It's just like, look outside for a second.
Eyebrow raises, but she glances over her shoulder out the window.
You see that building over there?
Yes.
What if I told you that there's a whole bundle of fireworks up there just for you?
You're distracting me with fireworks? Or arson?
Actual fireworks.
All right, what if there were fireworks in that building?
Well, I could set them off, well, about a minute's time, if you so were so inclined to see something. A display just for you. I don't really have flowers. I probably could have gotten some when I was coming here, but this seems like a good substitute.
All right, roll. What are you rolling?
Wreck.
All right, let's see how brilliant this fireworks display is. Fortune roll.
Look, I'm a saboteur, okay?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I got a 5.
That's a 5. That's 2 ticks on your clock. She finds it an impressive display. She enjoys it, even if she's not, like, she probably isn't effusive about it, because she's still, I think, quite annoyed at you. But you distract her long enough for her to relax a little bit. So take those 2 ticks.
Yeah. That was the whole thing, was to make her relax. Mm-hmm. She's so tense right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Allie's the type to be like, here, I'll give you a massage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Perfect.
She enjoys herself for a few minutes before she goes back to hitting the books.
Yeah. I think comes back over and, like, there's a tender, like, putting a hand on her hand. Mm-hmm. Just like, again, I was serious about the, you know, you need help. I am out there. And, you know, either as Allie or as, well, the princess's crime, as you put it. Don't go spreading that too much around. You know how it is.
I can keep a secret.
Your house is full of them.
Exactly. They would have turned me out on the street months ago. Well, years ago. If I couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm not Ren in that regard, but I can keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Kind of just scratches the back of their head, just like, awkward. Mm-hmm. Good. I knew you'd bring it up, but still awkward. Just like, you haven't talked to them recently, have you?
She and I meet up every week.
Oh, okay. Just curious. You know.
We're sisters. That's not a bond that breaks easily.
Right, yeah. Well, it really is a pleasure to see you. It's hard for words to convey it as much as I, you know, blather on and on and on.
Yeah, you do say a lot without saying anything, don't you?
You know, kind of how it goes. Just, say it's who I am, you know. It's the part of where I come from, that kind of thing. But, I mean, it seems like the nobility are pretty good at that in general. So, you know, it's a thing to be learned.
I'm not good at it at all. But, yeah, a lot of people of my station are.
Yeah. But that's part of why I like you. Anyway, if there's anything else, I mean, I probably should leave.
Yeah, you probably should before you get caught. Though, knowing my parents, they know you're here already.
Of course they do. Well, I guess I'll get out before, you know, I'm here, I'm lingering too long, what have you. Though, I expect that, they probably have already started looking for suitors or something along those lines.
Oh, I'm supposed to get married.
Right. Yeah, and I think this is where Allie's just like, you know, these are the consequences of my actions. I'm just gonna leave before I have to actually confront them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they give a bow and then like they head out, just like, mm-hmm, yep, I'm just gonna go.
It was good to see you, Allie. I appreciate the distraction, she says as you leave.
You know, there's a wink as door closes.
And I think, I forgot to mention this earlier, her mask is brand new. You noticed that when you first came in. It used to be fairly plain, with gold-painted upper lip, outstretched wings like another mask, in dark blue above the eyes. Parts of it showing molten gold, like it had been broken once and healed back together with that gold.
Mm.
But now, it's brand new. The lips are both painted silver and there's no smile. The eyes are bordered by peacock feathers. The left eye sort of blooming with the tail eyes. The right with like iridescent fletching. Everything's like blue and green and purple and bronze. There's a small jagged line in silver down the right cheek like a fencing wound. And on the other is a small six-pointed star. I don't know how much you know about mask language, but that star definitely indicates a betrothal.
Oh, interesting. She's already betrothed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dang. Oh, I'm going to go find out who she's betrothed to. I got to find out.
That's very easy to find out. The same person who was here to meet the previous House Lavelle heir.
Fiore?
Yes, the same person who was engaged to Fiore, or is going to be engaged to Fiore. They just shifted that engagement to the new heir.
Oh, great. Do we know who that is?
Oh, yes. It's a Prince of Moor. I can give you a name.
Ah.
They have recently come to Ilrian.
I would say my rival, but I don't think I have the ability to break this engagement.
Mm-hmm. Prince Amani from Moor.
Amani, okay. No, I'm just going to wait for Prince Amani to become my rival.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to do?
No, I think that's it. I don't think, unlike Teresa, I think Allie is just like, this is, you know, this is what I have. I want to save my influence, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
So I had a question before someone else moved on.
Yes.
Does doing that mini errand get me anything? Or does it just, it's just a thing that I did?
Get you anything how? Like more downtime activities?
Like, does it tick on my heating things up clock, for example, or?
Well, that, I remember that it was, the thing that you promised them in order to get something from them, if I remember correctly, or some sort of, like, devil's bargain, lady's favor. I'll take a tick.
Okay.
Especially if you tell them about what was transpiring in the room when you were there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's very precious information to them. They desperately wanted to know that. They are definitely grateful to you for that information, as well as for the errand that you ran for them.
Okay.
Okay. Who would like to go next?
I can do mine.
All right.
I want to look for Zyra.
You want to look for Zyra?
But like very specifically, I have the scene in my mind. I want it to be nighttime. Mm-hmm. I want it to be moon in the sky, like at its pinnacle, at its peak. And I kind of want it to be like, oh, fancy seeing you here.
Okay. I think you catch her as she's coming. Like, it's nighttime. It's after midnight. She should probably not be out at this hour. You catch her coming back from somewhere, sneaking into the house.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm on her balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And I make myself known. I spent a lot of time writing this. I'd lose myself in the abyss of your cruel wickedness and tyranny if I might be granted one small kiss, or that your eyes were all that I could see. True love comes but once in a poor man's life, and truer yet there's none poorer than I. For true love taunts me and leaves me in strife, that I might crumble in the smallest sigh. From thine perfect lips an arrow aimed true, directly at mine heart a star-crossed pair, that a beggar like I could fall for you. A moonlit sky and I can only stare. My life I'd give for you. Give for you alone, that my heart might finally be set aflown.
Zyra squeaks in surprise and quickly covers her face up with a mask, turning to face you. Like she didn't notice that you were there. She was like taking off her cloak, a little bit on de Chabelle, and then yeah, you pronounce that beautiful poem from the balcony with the moon on you.
Full on sonnet, by the way. I followed the rules. It was 10 syllables per line. It was difficult as fuck.
Impressive.
I'm impressed.
Same.
Yeah, Zyra like puts the mask on and like, God damn it, Sam, you scared the shit out of me. And her mask is very plain, even for the House of Bastion. It does cover her face, which indicates she's a full noble. But there's like a butterfly of blue and silver around her right eye, and sketched under it is like a golden branch just beginning to bloom, leaving most of the face still porcelain white. But her eyes are bright blue and familiar behind it. She's unable to mask the slight pleasure there is to see you here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Samuel is just like, well, imagine my surprise when I had come here after dinner and you weren't the one nowhere to be found.
I had business in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And she very deliberately puts herself between you and her desk and closes the drawer.
I hold out a bag with it. It was a freshly baked croissant, but it no longer is. It's like, well, if you're so busy with the city, I suppose you won't be wanting this.
Oh, I didn't say that. Of course, it entirely depends on what that is. But
it's a croissant, I believe is what it's called.
Interesting. Where'd you get it from? And she sort of like steps a little bit closer.
One of the good bakeries, one of the ones that don't fill their dough with sawdust.
Good. Definitely have to check the mark these days. And she takes it from you. I'll enjoy this later then. Thank you.
I kind of pull it back when she's going to take it. It's like, you're busy with the city, remember?
I just got back from being busy.
I've been waiting here for so long that perhaps I've become rather peckish myself.
Oh, well, if you need it more than I do, far be it from me to deprive you.
I kind of, like, dangle it in her arm's length, and I'm just like,
mm-hmm.
I could be convinced that you need it more than I.
And what would convince you, Sam?
Surprise me, Zyra.
I think she's just going to try and magic it away from you.
Ooh.
You see her getting ready to cast.
I think I'm going to try to counter the magic.
Yeah, go for it. No, please.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to counter the spell by putting the croissant on her desk and bringing her closer to me. kind of like do two teleportation spells at once by re-aiming hers and then casting one of my own.
Ooh, okay, so we got some magic at loggerheads. Make a roll about it.
Mm-hmm. Channel?
Yeah.
I assume the position and thing doesn't matter?
No, it's going to be a fortune roll here.
Yeah. That's a 6.
Goddamn. Yeah, it works. She was just going to use a little bit of wind magic to snatch it out of your hands, and you reverse it and, you know, twist the spell. And so the croissant's on her desk, and she is within arm's length. Or did you want her in your arms?
I'm not going to be so presumptuous as to touch her without, like... No, I think I'll put my hand on her hip, but, like, very gently so that she can step away mm-hmm. or move away if she wants.
Oh, she is outraged that you fucking flummoxed her spell. But she doesn't move. How in the blazes did you manage that?
Well, your mother's had me studying the books for the past 72 hours, I think. I don't know. I've lost track of the day. So I should bloody well hope that my magic is better than yours for a little bit, at least.
Not better. You just surprised me. That's all.
If it'll help you sleep at night.
I sleep fine, thank you.
I don't know. I might need a demonstration.
A demonstration on how well I sleep.
And Samael gives a very cocky grin.
I don't think you're allowed to watch me sleep. That's a little bit creepy.
Watch, no, but be in your presence is a different thing. Similarly, if nobody finds out.
I think someone would notice if you were missing or in my chambers for too long.
You say that, but I've been sitting here with my foot dangling out your window for quite a while and nobody has had any comment.
Oh, well, then the servants are slipping.
Then let it slip even further.
You can't see the eyebrow, but you know that it's raised. You know the look she's giving you. You've seen it before. Like, she only recently started wearing the mask, like, around you. I think it's, like, sort of like a rite of passage thing, like, when you're an adult, that you finally get a mask and, like, mm-hmm. have to wear it everywhere. And, like, to have someone see your face is a very intimate connection meant for, like, your parents or your siblings and, like, the person people you're involved with. So you know what her facial expressions look like, and you know that she's got that, like, she's got, like, it's a bit of a challenge look. Like, she's waiting for you to do something.
I'm trying to think of how Samuel would word this, because they're in a very poetic mood right now, and Peter is not typically poetic, which makes this a little bit difficult for me. I think they say something like, then let it slip away as the time slips away from the night and the moon slips out of the sky, that I might spend one night with you.
Make a roll about it.
What?
Make a roll about it. How are you wooing her?
Oh, I'm so good at consort.
Sounds like a consort to me.
That's a 4.
That's 2 ticks.
Oh, baby.
You can spend a coin to roll again, or an influence to roll again, if you would like.
Yeah, you know what? I spent a fuck ton of time writing that poem. I'm going to spend an influence.
Yes! All right. Consort again.
I spent so much time on that poem. I'm spending that influence. That's a 6, baby!
6? Okay, yep. Yep. All right. So... before we move on, you have acquired a paramour. What are her edges and flaws?
Oh no, I didn't think this far ahead.
Do you need me to read them out?
Give me a second to just find the page in the book, because I'll be real, I don't know what edges and flaws are.
So they're basically, it's, you know, it's something that she can help you with. And something that will hinder her, you know, helping you mm-hmm. In certain matters. Like, edges are, like, she's well-connected. She's protective of you, so she'll sacrifice her safety for yours. She's doting, so she'll offer assistance without reservation or strings attached. where she's well protected, so like people won't target her, like when trying to get to you and other stuff.
Oh gosh,
flaws. She's jealous and she won't like suffer being anything else being at the center of your world. She's meddling, so she'll get involved in your stuff. Flighty. She's distracted by other matters and, you know, not always available. And Starcross, she's caught between love and duty, and your love is always going to be a forbidden one.
I feel like I have to choose Starcross because it's literally in the poem.
All right. Well, good enough. I understand that.
And I feel like Zyra is pretty well protected. Maybe not by, like, okay, the house itself, but by, like, by her parents.
All right, so she is well protected, and your love is star-crossed. Interesting. We'll see how this affects her plans. So, I think, yeah, no, complete the clock. She removes her mask, and she looks up at you, and places a hand on your chest. All right, then. Perhaps I can make it so that they don't know you were here then. And you can spend as long as you like.
There is not enough time on this earth that I could spend as long as I'd like, but until the morning will do, I suppose.
Until dawn, then.
And I think that's when Samael steps into the room proper. So that way, you know, they're in front of the blinds and not kind of dangling out a window. And leans in very close. Not quite kissing, but very close.
She looks at gaze depths to your lips and back up to your eyes. You're lucky you've caught me in an interesting mood, Sam.
It seems only fair since you've caught my heart from so long ago.
Flower words. I wonder if you can back them up. And yeah, she leans in to kiss you.
Yeah, he returns it. And kind of like steps further in and closes the window properly.
And the camera pans out to the moon, and we have no idea what goes on in that room after that.
That poem took so much work, yo. I am not ready.
You got your money's worth.
It was well worth the effort.
It was. That was so impressive dedication.
Committing to the bit. I respect that.
It's very, very good. I am wowed by your effort put into that poem. Okay.
Who wants to go next? I think Kelsey, you're the only one who hasn't had a thing tonight. I think that means it's your turn.
True. So one of them I do also have a pair of more things to do.
You would like to do that now?
Yes.
All right. So you go find Lorenzo. Where do you find him?
I feel like it has to be in the house somewhere. Because I feel like that's probably where both of them are most of the time.
I mean, yeah, for a good portion of the time. I think you've noticed that Lorenzo's around the house a little less frequently than usual. But you're able to find him.
And I did also clock there was something going on at the party as well.
You did.
I do remember that was something I had to ask about. Mm-hmm.
So do you find him? I think you find him in his study. He has one, as he is also a heir to a house. Big desk, heavy wood, less books in here, but definitely like comfortable and befitting a heir. He's also wearing his mask, which, as we have seen before, has the beautiful tree on it.
Which I feel like I meant to ask this at some point and then completely forgot. Because I know Blair had like a half one to that party. Would Fia, as like a lower like foreign noble, be expected to wear something regularly?
That's a very good question. Would you like Fia to have the expectation of a mask?
I think it's interesting if she does, especially because then it's like she does wear like whatever kind of one she's expected to, but it's kind of obvious if you watch her enough that she's not entirely comfortable with it often.
For sure. So I think Rowan had, as a foreign dignitary, had kind of a Phantom of the Opera style half mask, like covering half of their face.
Mm-hmm.
But what does Fia's mask look like?
Fia's, I feel like, is a bit more, like, less Phantom of the Opera, more, like, masquerade, but also probably only covering, like, part of the face. Mm-hmm. Feel like probably has to be, like, some blend of, like, the Bastion symbols, but also with, like, something representing her home country and the status that she has there.
Mm-hmm. Any idea of what that might be?
Not off the top of my head. I feel like there would have to be something in, like, a symbol pulled from a crest or something, maybe.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's probably worked into around your eyes to, yeah, tell people who you are at first glance. All right, cool.
Yeah, she wears it out of obligation, but is not entirely comfortable with it yet, mm-hmm. because she wouldn't have had to wear one at home. Either home.
Yeah, a lot of, like, unconscious touching.
Yeah.
Lorenzo is very used to wearing his mask. The golden branches mm-hmm. of the house's tree sort of weave together like a Celtic knot, covering most of it. And it, like, rises up to, like, form, like, a very slight, like, crown at the top. There are, like, watercolor leaves and emerald and sage and pine and teal and viridian all daubed around his eyes. And the mask's lips are smiling, painted in green. It's a beautiful mask. And I'm sure that he instructed whoever made his to make yours, because yours is not as elaborate, but it's similarly well done.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Lorenzo, do you enter his study?
I think, like, pauses in the doorway and, like, knocks slightly.
Takes him a second, but he looks up. Fia, what a pleasant surprise. He stands. Would you like to come in?
If you're not too busy.
It's just some books I'm balancing, and he quickly, like, closes the folio that he was working on. Please, come in.
Yeah, she will.
Would you like some tea, or... And he goes to the pot. This is cold. I'm sorry. whiskey, or scotch, or something? I have something around here somewhere.
I would love something, sure.
All right. Any preference?
No. Whatever you want is fine.
I'll surprise you, then. He goes over to the drink cabinet, pours you out a golden liqueur, and hands you a tumbler. Sits down next to you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So, to what do I owe the visit?
Just checking in, I suppose. You seem rather busy lately.
Well, it's, interesting times. The new tax code has gone through, and I'm, going through the books, making sure everything is correct. The last thing we need is Corvetto having any reason to seize anything.
Of course. Is that what you had to go over during the party the other night?
At the party? Oh no, that was nothing. That was just a small meeting, that's all.
Forgive me, it just seemed you were a little distracted, I suppose. Before I had to leave.
So much business gets done at those parties, there's always something else I have to pay attention to.
Sounds tiring.
It is. It's exhausting.
And I suppose they don't ever let you take a break.
I mean, I get, there are some perks to the position there, but, no. One doesn't very often get a vacation.
That's certainly a pity.
It is. But, duty and all that. And I think you know him well enough that he was not quite lying before about what happened at the party, but he wasn't 100% being truthful either.
Mm-hmm. This may be impertinent of me, I suppose, but you don't seem like you're entirely telling me the truth.
What do you mean?
Like there is something more to that meeting than you're letting on.
Make a roll. I want to know. Make your roll for Paramore. I want to know exactly how much he trusts you right now.
Oh, gosh.
So what move are you doing to woo him slash prove how trustworthy you are?
I mean, I guess it's probably consort. My whole one die in that.
Sounds like consort to me. All right. Make a fortune roll. If you would like to request a lady's favor, you can.
I would, yes.
All right.
Gosh damn it, Terpia. You'd have to be noble enough to not use your magic on people you like.
What? Just in Sorcelam. I mean, all the fairies are doing it.
She's nice enough that she doesn't use it on people that she actually likes very often, so...
Ooh, let me see. It's going to be easier for him to trust you because he's going to ask you for help.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, cool. So yeah, make that roll.
Please let at least one of these be... No!
So that's...
I will spend influence to do that again, but I have to.
I believe in technical terms, that's called an oof.
Yeah, no, that was two ones. Oh, not nice.
That's not fair, Dice.
Dice were like, no, we don't want to give you a pot.
It's because you didn't write a poem.
Yeah, that's just not fair. Okay, so I guess I'm just rolling with the one die this time.
Oh my god. Oh,
did you get another one?
Yeah, roll 20. Can I roll on like my own D6 and see if it's nicer to me?
Roll 20 has decided that this relationship is cursed.
I mean, I did really well the first time.
Routines and sorcel.
You can spend another influence if you want to just finish the clock.
Yes.
All right, cool. So I think it's a lot of like, this conversation goes on for a while of him hedging.
Probably.
And being like,
And Fia probably pushing a little more, like making it clear she's not going to drop it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, y'all dance around this for a while. And, like, glasses are refreshed at least twice. He fumbles and says something about how it was just a meeting. He swears it's nothing to get worked up about. And then lets slip something about the house's finances and a debt. And you press him on that. And it's, like, enough of a back and forth that it finally comes out the house is not only in debt, but so is his younger brother, Renero, who went from doing, like, noble house games, like, you know, cards in the other room, to, like, gambling in, like, seedier and seedier establishments, and now owes the Brizzolatto family nearly $500,000 ore, and Bastion does not have that kind of money to be spending on indiscretions like this. So he was trying to negotiate with Agostino Brizzolatto in that room to negotiate it down. And like some pressures being applied to him right now. Before you figure out what we're going to be like, how you'll react to that, we need to figure out his flaws and edge, or his edge and his flaw.
Yes,
is he connected, protective, doting, well protected, jealous, meddling, flighty, star-crossed?
Okay, it's gonna make the most sense here. / be the most interesting.
Good question.
I feel like protected makes pretty good sense for the edge.
So he's well protected, as maybe. In stuff won't happen to him because of you, or et cetera, et cetera? Or is he protective of you and he will, like, jump in front of you if there's, like, a gun or something?
God.
Follow your heart. Follow the drama. You don't need to.
I know. It's like my brain is saying, like, obviously he's well protected, Kelsey, but is that fun? Mm-hmm. And it's like, not really.
You can make him protective of you if you would like.
I think I could see that. All right.
That's his edge. What's his flaw?
Okay, so there's Flighty, Starcross.
Flighty, Starcrossed, meddling, and jealous.
Okay, I don't think it's meddling or jealous.
Either Flighty or Starcross makes sense, to be honest.
Yeah. Both make sense. I feel like Starcross is the most dramatic.
Starcross it is. Okay, so we get that little cutaway. He's your paramour. I am thou, thou art I. And we come back in the scene. What do you say to him after he confesses not only how deep the house Bastion is in debt, but how deep that they are in debt to a crime family?
I think there is like a moment of like a little bit of surprise, and then she tries to like fix the smile on her face. It's like, is that so hard to admit?
Yes. You don't talk about house business like this with anyone.
You have to confide in someone on occasion. Otherwise, this will drive you mad.
One day I will be Prince of House Bastion. I need to learn how to shoulder the burden now.
No one can shoulder all of that by themselves all of the time.
My mother handles it fine.
Perhaps she's just good at covering. But regardless, I take it they didn't accept your attempts at negotiation very well?
I gave them something for collateral, and they appear to have eased up a little bit, but no, they're not going to forgive anything. There's not going to be... If word got out that Renata was in deep with the Brizzolatto family, we're already in shaky standing.
Nowhere. No one else you could go to for help?
Debt myself to the Corvettos? Maybe, if I wanted to make Bastion their lapdog.
That does not sound preferable for more reasons than one.
We're already in it deep with the bank. Your friend, Lee, got us out of a particular issue with them recently. They were trying to call in all of our debt at once. I suppose we could go to their rivals, but I don't think that is a good idea either. If the bank found out, they would lean on us again.
Right.
I could sell a few things. I don't know if it will come up to what Renero owes, but... I shouldn't be burdening you with this. I'm sorry.
I pressed you. You have nothing to be sorry for. Is there anything I can do?
Do you have half a million aura you might be able to lend?
Not on my person, I'm afraid. And I feel like transporting it would be complicated and raise a lot of questions.
Yes. I don't know if there's a way for... I feel terrible even suggesting this, even in jest, but you could charm the Brizzolatto family and... No, that's ridiculous. I don't think there's anything they would do to forgive this, except maybe if we did a favor for them, or several favors. I'm sure that that's what they want instead of money. They'd love to have us in their pocket.
I feel like at that charm the Brizzolatto's suggestion, there is a like bit of thought on her face. It's like, it's an idea. Not usually how she likes to do things, but completely feasible.
There's a lot of things you could do to the Brizzolattos or for them if you wanted to, you know, trade the debt onto yourself or something like that, or, you know, do errands for them, or I'm sure that the crime family would have use for a fairy princess.
Mm-hmm. What if I could potentially
Potentially what?
Either charm them or handle some of what they might be looking for.
No, I can't ask you that. They're dangerous, Fia.
I'm asking, I'm offering.
Still, they are incredibly dangerous. You know that they do own most of the crime in the city, yes?
I have heard that.
Almost everything that happens is tied to them somehow. There's rumors that they're protected by the Corvettos, like...
Interesting.
I can't move against them. You can't move against them. Your standing is so much shakier than mine. And they're not... They're dangerous.
Well, what else do you plan to do?
Sell some things. See if I can negotiate a longer rate of return. Maybe.
And if you can't?
I'll figure out something. I have to.
Well, we can agree that you have to figure something out, at least.
He nods.
I really do wish you would drop this mentality that you have to do everything on your own.
I'm the heir. That's what I'm for.
Heirs aren't allowed to delegate.
Not something this important, no. We delegate every day. That's why you and your friends have assignments.
Right.
This is more than asking you to rescue a star-crossed young person from their family. Or whatever it is you did the other week.
Something like that. Among other things.
You are constantly busy, aren't you? I feel as though I should apologize for that.
I knew what I was signing up for.
I wish there was an easier way to get you upwardly mobile. Even Bastion can't flout tradition that boldly.
I know. And I wouldn't ask you to.
You're far too good for this city, Fia.
Why did I give that impression, at least?
I think he reaches over, and if he may, he would like to grab your hand.
He may.
He squeezes it, and he's looking into your eyes. He lifts it to the lips on his mask. As close as you'll probably get to a kiss, for now.
Mm-hmm.
Before he lets your hand go, gently. You've made quite an impression.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I maintain that perhaps that could be put to use in some way. Or at least my ability to make an impression on people.
We've already been putting you to more use than I'm comfortable with, but you're your own person, so.
That is very true.
I won't order you not to do anything, but I will tell you earnestly that you should not put yourself at such risk.
And I promise if I do try to do anything, I'll be careful.
I suppose that is all I can ask.
Probably. I do hope I won't have to push you so much next time something's upsetting you, though.
I'll try and remember that I can share a burden with you, or two.
Good. Everyone needs someone to open up to occasionally.
As you say, my lady.
I suppose I should let you get back to your work. I've probably taken up enough of your time.
He stands and he'll escort you to the door and give you one last bow before he gets back to balancing his books and trying to figure out some orthodox way of saving his house financially.
And Fia's gonna start scheming a little, I guess.
Wonderful. Well, heck! I know I can't wait to hear what those schemes are gonna be. Or to find out who that purple fairy is seducing the prince. Damn, so much intrigue. Thank you once again for listening to Just Roll With It's game of Court of Blades. This game was written by Sean and Nobby Drake at Couple of Drakes, and can be found on their itch page at coupleofdrakes.itch.io. Get a copy, the scheme of an intrigue or two of your very own. Thank you to 8ER41 on Pixabay for our intro and outro music. And honestly, thank you Pixabay for your wide range of royalty-free music and everyone who posts there. We sampled from a bunch of songs for this episode because I couldn't resist. So if you are curious as to what those songs are, please look in the description below. They were all fabulous, and just thank you all. And of course, thank you to our guest stars, St. Gard and Estany, for playing with us. St. Gard can be found at St. Gardly on Twitter and as St. Gard on Twitch. And Estany, that's A-S-T-E-Y-N-I, can be found under that nom de guerre everywhere. I, Corey, can be found most places as The Invulnerable Tide. Kelsey can be found under Islander's Caper, and Peter under The Chaotic Super. You can, of course, find all of us, including the podcast links, Just Roll With It AP, in the description below. And as it is Pride Month, I feel as though I would be remiss if I didn't remind you we have Pride merch in the Redbubble store. So snag a Being Queer as a Contest shirt right now if you want to win that contest. And until next time, whether the dice are coming up nat ones or the narrative is throwing you for a loop, don't forget to just roll with it.